Mesechus Peya Perik Zayin Mishneches 7-8. This is the last mission discussing Olos. It has two cases. The first is Hamakdish Karmo Achlo Nodu Bo Haolelos. What's the din if a person is Makdish his Kerem? That means, say, he consecrates his vineyard to become the property of the Beis HaMikdash, but he did it prior to the individual cluster developing to the point that it could be detected which would become Olos and which wouldn't. So very early on in the season and development of the grapes. So the question is then, what will happen when, after the consecration, the clusters develop into Olos? The din is, Ein ho lelos laniyam. It's too bad for the niyam because they don't get any portion of those olelos. The reason why is because the pasuk specifically said, V'charmcha los olel, your vineyard you may not collect the olos from. But the you in the referred to in the your vineyard is specifically a private person and doesn't refer to the enterprise of the Beis HaMikdash. That being the case, the property of the Beis HaMikdash is exempt from the various matanos, in this case the matana of Olos. So that being the case, once the Mikdash takes possession by virtue of it being consecrated to it of the vineyard, so now when the Olos grow, they are based on Mikdash's Olos, and they never become the property of the Aniyim. On the other hand, Mishinodu Voha Olelos, once it can be determined which of the clusters will ultimately become Olos, and then, and only then, does the person be Makdish, he consecrates his vineyard to the Beis HaMikdash, Ha'olelos L'Aniyim. It's too late. Those particular clusters are the property of the Aniyim, and the rule is, across Kultura Kula, you can't be Makdish that which isn't yours. So since these are now Olos, just, you know, early in the season, the Baal HaBayis has no right over them, it doesn't belong to him, and therefore he has no ability to be Makdish it, to consecrate it, to become the possession of the Beis HaMikdash. You'll note in the previous mission we said that the Niyim, according to Rabbi Kiva, and this is the Lacha, can't come to get Olos until the time of the Betzira, of the harvest, and that hasn't happened yet here in this Mishnah, but that doesn't matter. That's just when they have rights to come into the vineyard. But in terms of that the nascent growing clusters belong to them as Olos, isn't disputed. It belongs to them as soon as they become the shape of Olos. So, therefore, once they can be detected, there's no way to be Makdish these Olos, and therefore the Olos will not ever go to the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Yitnu Schar Gidulav Lehekdash. Rabbi Yossi says, that may be true, but one needs to compensate the Hekdash, the Beis HaMikdash, for the increase in value that the grapes that are Olos increased from the time of Hekdash, the time of consecration, until the time that they're fully developed. His rationale is that when a person's Makdish, when he consecrates his entire vineyard, so that means that the soil of the vineyard and the vines of the vineyard all now belong to the Beis HaMikdash. And that being the case, when the unripe, you know, underdeveloped Olos grow up to be fully grown Olos, that increase in bulk and in value, it was derived directly from property that belonged to the Beis HaMikdash. Where did it come from? It came from the soil and came from the vines, meaning the kerem itself, the vineyard itself, which is Hekdesh, which is Beis HaMikdash property. And that being the case, the Beis HaMikdash, Hekdesh, needs to be compensated for it. The Tana Kama, however, disagrees. Tana Kama says that the Aniyim, in having rights to the fruits on the vine, those Olos, so of course that means they have the schus, they have the right to that portion of the nutrients that are embedded in the earth and in the facility that exists inside the vine to develop those Olos. And that being the case, that belongs to the Niyam, and therefore there's no compensation that needs to come in addition to the Beis HaMikdash. On that point, the Halacha does follow Rabbi Yossi, that the Schar Gedulav, the increase in value after the time of consecration, Lehekdesh, must be also paid to the Beis HaMikdash. The second part of the Mishnah discusses something entirely different. It discusses the requirements of Shichcha when it comes to a Kerem. Shichcha, you recall, is the prohibition against going back to collect overlooked bundles or individual, produce as one passes them in the harvest process. So once you've passed them by, overlooking them, the Torah prohibits, it's Bal Tashuv, you may not go back a second time to collect them. So the first part of this section in the Mishnah discusses the case of an aris. An aris is when you have at least five vines, grapevines, that are trellised, they're draped over like a gazebo. And that being the case, they sort of don't grow in a linear way. Atop the gazebo, on top of, you know, this wooden structure, you have grapevines growing willy-nilly, and you have lots of grapes dangling down. It's common, it's beautiful, but it makes for interesting halachic shaila, which is, as you're picking them, you don't pick the grapes in a linear fashion. So at what point does one say that, you know, you've passed by these section of the grapes, you can't go back for them? This question wouldn't really arise in the case of our modern day vineyards, and also they did vineyards like that back then also, where you train vines along, say, a rope or a wire, because then it's clearly sort of a linear process as you harvest, you're moving down the line. But since it's, and therefore it's clear that you've passed a certain point, you can't go back again. I mean, even if you spot some clusters, you know, as you've moved further along. But when you come to harvesting the grapes that are dangling down atop the gazebo, since it's non-linear, the question is, when you finish the section, can you go back to that same section? And just to further explain it, it was normal to sort of reach around and you know, not go in any particular pattern as you move across the gazebo collecting those grapes. And certainly as you move around, so then you'll either move the vine and see what's behind certain leaves that are coming off the grapevine, etc., and grapes will appear, and then you'll pick those ones too, and so on and so forth. So the question is, how do you define the mitzvah of shichcha when you're harvesting in such a scenario? That's what the Mishnah says. Ezohi shichcha baris, which grapes dangling down off of the trellis vine constitute shichcha. Kol shenu yachol lifshot es yado v'litla. Any cluster which is so far past where you were standing originally that you no longer can reach it by extending your hand. So that is to say, anything within its arm reach still becomes fair, still remains fair play, and you can take that. It's not shichcha going back, even if it's, you know, you've kind of passed over that section of the vine, you can go back to it again because you haven't moved your legs, and that's the way of harvesting. But once you've moved on to the point that you can't reach one of those passed up grape clusters without moving your feet, I mean, your hands can't reach, you have to walk back there, that will be the prohibition of shichcha to go back for those clusters that were overlooked. Uvaroglios. Now, what about aroglios? Aroglios are literally means, I don't know, like leggy ones. These are vines that didn't get trained on any rope, and certainly not on a trellis. They're just, you know, growing on the ground, as grapes probably did for a long time before people cultivated them as the way we have them today in a vineyard. So roglios, very simple rudimentary vineyards. We have grapes growing along the ground. The din is mishiyavor himena. As soon as you pass by, you know, the grapes you're collecting on the ground, you can't go back. That is to say that since the grapevine grows in a linear, albeit maybe windy, but the point is there's a single vine as it kind of progresses along the ground. So it's clear that the normal way to progress your harvest is to move along the grapevine, however sinuous it may be. And it's not normal to, you know, go back a second time. And if you would, that would constitute the prohibition of shichcha, of going back to collect forgotten fruits, which is disallowed, of course, because those overlooked forgotten grapes are gifts of shichcha that belong to the poor.